every child in that school in Dujiangyan, the town where those children died in that awful school collapse, would have been taught that the first ever seismoscope was created in 132 AD by a man called Chang Heng. So the Chinese had an early edge in seismology, but they've completely lost that edge. Why is that?
British writer Simon Winchester poses that question in his latest book. It's part of a larger question. Why did China, with its history of invention and new ideas, lose its innovative edge? It's not actually Winchester's question. It's become known as the Needham question, Needham as in Joseph Needham. He was probably the leading China scholar of the 20th century. Needham didn't start out with an expertise or even an interest in the country. He was teaching biochemistry at Cambridge University in England in the 1930s, and he fell for a visiting Chinese student named Lu Guizhen. Thus began his obsession with China. Simon Winchester's biography of Joseph Needham is called The Man Who Loved China. Winchester says his research took him to a 21st century China that Needham was already glimpsing 60 years ago.
I was at a town called Juchan. Used to be a village known principally for the place where rhubarb is supposed to have originated. Now it's the Chinese Space Center, where they send out the satellites and the Chinese astronaut, and where undoubtedly, if they want to send a man to the moon, they will send a man to the moon. And there's a sign in English which says quite starkly and quite simply something that I think Joseph Needham would have absolutely accepted and believed in. It says, "Without haste, without fear, we shall conquer the world." And I think deep in the heart of every Chinese person, they don't mean by that we'll conquer it militarily, but our influence will, in short order, replace the dominant influence of American corporate culture, which I think all of us here acknowledge is the dominant force in the world today. That's going to be replaced by a Chinese culture, which is completely different, but in my view, no bad thing.
As far as Joseph Needham goes, how much do you think his story was about his libido and where that drove him? I mean, he always loved the women, as you point out, and his attraction to China seemed as much about fulfilling his own intellectual curiosity as it was another link in the chain of attraction between him and Lu Guizhen. I mean, how much was he driven by just love and, you know, desire?
And sex, I mean, to put it crudely.
Right.
Hugely, I think. He embraced life with enormous gusto. I mean, he's a very tall man with great shock of brown hair, brown spectacles. He looked like Harry Potter on speed, I suppose. and he loved women. And when he was married at 25 to Dorothy, a rather serious, studious biochemist, the two of them settled down, one imagined, to a fairly ordinary existence. And on the day of their marriage, Joseph said, "This is going to be a thoroughly modern marriage. And if I seek entertainment outside the bounds of matrimony, you're more than welcome to do so also." I'm not sure, it doesn't seem that she did, but he did with great enthusiasm. He then met Guizhen some years later in 1937 when Guizhen came over from China to study under Dorothy. It was 6 months before the relationship was consummated, and on the night of the consummation, she taught him the first ever Chinese character that he ever learned. And then he embraced China. So his love, and I think love is a very important word in this story, he loved her. He loved his wife. He loved China.
Needham spent just a little over 3 years in China, about?
In the first instance.
Right.
And then he would go back frequently because he became very friendly with both Mao and Zhou Enlai. So he was invited back and continued his researches. But 3 years during the war, yes.
And what was a day in the life of Joseph Needham like in those first 3 years in China?
Well, he was very keen to go out, and he got an assistant, a man called H.T. Huang. And the two of them, in a converted Chevrolet ambulance, set out on these extraordinary journeys across China, a China that most people had never, Westerners had never seen. All of the journeys were fraught with the most terrible accidents and delays, and having the bridge over which they were traveling bombed by Japanese fighters. I mean, they had a very exciting time of it.
Now, when he returned to Cambridge, Joseph Needham had as his kind of goal to write kind of this compendium of China that ended up by becoming Science and Civilization in China, 24 volumes of this brings us back to the Needham question, as it's called. Why, after 14 centuries and China just kind of obsessing and going over discoveries and coming up with great inventions, did it all just seem to stop and get shifted to the West? Did he ever come to any conclusions? And do you have any conclusions about this?
He came to some conclusions, yes. And of course, remember, it's much easier to say, why did the West have a burst of scientific enthusiasm in the 16th century rather than why the Chinese stopped being inventive? But if there is one easy answer, it is that China was all one huge country under the imperium of one emperor, whereas Europe was a series of competing fiefdoms that would shift over the years. If a Spanish sword maker built a magnificent sword and they happened to be at war with Holland, it behooved the sword makers in Amsterdam to make an even better sword. And thus is technological innovation given a boost by hostility and competition. So there was no competition. In China also, it was the ambition of every Chinese man from about the 6th century AD until as recently as 1906 to take the Confucian examinations to become not a scientist, not a doctor, not a merchant, but a bureaucrat, a mandarin. His task is merely to make sure that China remains totally stable. Now, and maybe for the past 15 years, there seems to be a huge eruption of activity again. The Chinese universities are humming with energy, with brains and ambition. In all fields, it seems that China's back again. So in the whole sweep of 5,000 years of Chinese history, if 400 years was not particularly inventive, that's just a blip, just a hiccup, making the Needham question moot.
Simon Winchester, a fascinating book about a fascinating man that many of us know very little about. The book is called The Man Who Loved China, the fantastic story of the eccentric scientist who unlocked the mysteries of the Middle Kingdom. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks very much indeed.
And you can find photos of Joseph Needham and of his lover, Lu Guizhen, on our website. There's also more of our interview with Simon Winchester there. You can even hear him, I kid you not, rapping.
Ladies and gentlemen, you better pay attention. This is the history of Chinese invention. The first book I wrote was about W.C. Minor, but this book is entirely devoted to China.
That's at theworld.org.